We're up to Parakei Mishnah Yud Zayim, which continues with the discussion of the things relating to number four. And the Mishnah Yud Zayim talks about the Holchei Beis HaMedrash. And it really relates to things we've discussed already in the past about that a person's learning is not simply an intellectual pursuit, but it has to be something which impacts how you behave. So sometimes you have a person, Holchei, he goes to the Beis HaMedrash, Reina Oseh, but unfortunately it doesn't always put into... It doesn't put it into practice. Still, that's considered that he gets schar halicha because he does go to the Beis HaMedrash. He may not practice it, but willy-nilly, if a person is serious about being in the Beis HaMedrash, eventually things sink in, and maybe he doesn't practice it now, but just being in a certain environment. That's why it's important to have an environment where you're influenced positively by others, and even if you're not up to it now, it's still something that eventually can be valuable and can change your personality. I remember when I was principal of the Yeshiva High School in MTA, so when we have extra learning opportunities for boys after davening with different Rosh Yeshiva from YU and other people, and sometimes during breakfast and during lunch. So I remember a certain father telling me about his son at the time the boy was a 10th grader. He said, my son is not interested at this time in giving up any time of his free time in breakfast or in lunch for extra learning. That's not where my son's at. So, but I want you to know, it makes an impression. When he walks in the Beis HaMedrash after breakfast, or after davening, he's going to breakfast, or he wants to play ball or do other work or whatever he's doing, and he sees a Beshechter and other people sitting with high school boys, even though it's not where he's at now, it makes an impression on him. I remember the father telling me, it made an impression on him. Years later, but Baruch Hashem, the boy's now a very fine Ben Torah. You know, different people develop at different stages. So Holech, there's still value in going to the Beis HaMedrash, even if right now, Eino Oseh. Sometimes people don't have time for regular Torah study and so on, but they keep the mitzvahs. They do their best. For whatever reason, they don't have time for the Talmud Torah. So okay, so at least you get schar ma'aseh. Of course, holech va'oseh is chassid. The best thing is someone who goes to Beis HaMedrash and he puts into practice what he learns. In the reverse, lo holech va'oseh is rasha. The next mission is sort of reminiscent of the other mission we discussed at the end yesterday, different types of Talmidim, Arba Midas B'Yoshim, Chachamim, Sfog, Mashpech, Meshameres, V'Nofa, different types of Talmidim. Again, there's some students who are like a sponge, okay? Some people like a funnel would be the right translation I saw, and the Meshameres is a strainer and a sieve, okay? Sometimes a person is a sponge, so he takes in everything, right? The sponge picks up everything, okay? And the other materials are, a funnel is, picks up nothing. Funnel means, it's like a tube. It goes in one side. We have the expression in English, goes in one ear, in one ear and out the other. Okay, everything. Some, are like a strainer. He keeps certain things, but lets other things go. He holds on to the strainer, let's say straining wine. You hold on to the wine, you keep the wine, but actually the other way around. The wine goes through, but the sediments remain. And the last thing is a sieve, which holds on to the good flour and lets the bad flour go through. So again, we can figure out ourselves what the right thing is. But again, because what happens in a, it's interesting. I remember when I was in the Rav Shidduch, he'd be giving the shiur, but then he'd say, if he'd start to say a story, once in a while, I would say, I remember when this happened, or you quoted, I remember a story, and all of a sudden, like, shh, what do you mean? He was giving a shiur. So I'm saying, guys, of course guys were listening, but somebody came to the story, everyone, shush, want to hear the story, Okay, the stories were usually very instructive, Sichas Chun, and this wasn't Sichas Chun, was doing the shiur, but, a person has to know what's important to hold on to, what's not important to hold on to. Sometimes the stories are very important to hold on to, just thought of that point. But in any event, the different types of Talmidim, we stress that they're still all Talmidim. I mentioned this at length yesterday, so I don't have to go over it again in detail on that, but they're all still Talmidim, they're all still Yoshua and Chacham. You have to figure out how you can motivate each student, and again, you have to have different curricula, in my opinion, for different students, how they're going to best best develop the way they have to develop. Mishnah Yotes is a well-known Mishnah, talks about Ava Tluy B'Dover and Ava Sheina Tluy B'Dover. Okay, we talk about love very, very loosely sometimes in today's society. I love you, people tell you I love you, and so on. And what exactly is love? And we have to understand that sometimes love is really a code word for something else, okay? And here the Mishnah tells us what's an example of love that's tluy b'dover. That's the story of Amnon and Tamar in Navi, okay? Amnon and Tamar, you know, both children of David HaMelech from different mothers, and Amnon was madly in love with Tamar. That's what it said, madly in love with her, right? He was in love with her. Really, it wasn't love, it was lust. The Haraya, as soon as he had his way, one of his friends suggested, if you remember from Navi, suggested that he should come up with some kind of ruse, pretend that he's sick, and he needs her to bring him something, and so on, so when she's in the room, so do what he has to do with her. And it says, right after that, he hates her. He hated her. The answer is, oh, love there to begin with, right? It was only lust. Very easy to confuse love with lust, and very easy to confuse love with other things as well. Okay, love has to be that I have a deep connection with a person that's independent. Of course, there are other things that are important. Okay, obviously, in a marital relationship, there are other things that are very important. I'm not saying that the sexual piece of marriage is not important. Of course, it is. Okay, it's part of, but it's got to be part of the bigger picture. The love has to be connecting on a deeper level. It has not. It can't be dependent. Okay, you know, I mean, it's very important that a young man, an old man, whatever, a man finds his wife physically attractive, and a wife finds her husband physically attractive. It's part of a marriage, okay? But, you know, you have to be careful that's not taking over the whole thing. Sometimes you hear, you know, I never heard anyone say, oh, he's in love with this girl. She's so polite, you know, or she is such a, you know, she's such a wonderful midas, you know. You love with her because if she's physically attracted, then we think we're in love. And sometimes we are, but that's what the Mishnah is telling us. Amnon and Tamar, it wasn't real love. It was simply, other emotions that, so to speak, confuse the person. The example, strikingly, of Avosha Enetuli with Dover is David Yohanneson. Now, David Yohanneson, that was not a physical thing. We're not suggesting Chas v'Shalom that they were, you know, we know that they weren't, they weren't homosexuals and so on. That wasn't the issue, but they loved each other because it wasn't dependent on some external factor. Okay, it was love of each other for a connection on a deep level that didn't have anything to do with sexual attraction or physical attraction and so on. Okay, but it had to do with this deep connection. All right, I think Dafka, they gave the example of Dov and Yonason, even though maybe there are, you know, they can give other examples. Dafka to show that it's something that was not based on any kind of physical attraction, but rather, on other factors which really connect people, you know, at a deep level. The love, you know, we can't confuse love with lust or with infatuation. Okay, it's really, so to speak, you know, kind of opening yourself up to include another person in what you're doing. And that's really what, you know, what love is. Include another person, what you're doing and who you are, what your goals are and so on. And that other person, people can love more than one person. Okay. So I think that's an instructive lesson from this Mishnah. And Mishnah Chaf talks about machlokas shel shem shamayim. Okay. So, you know, machlokas, the one that we always think machlokas is a bad thing. Machlokas in many levels is a bad thing, right? And it causes, causes people to do terrible things to each other and harm people and so on. But the fact is that human beings don't agree with each other all the time. And that's okay. I mean, you know, we say as a joke, if you ever want to impress somebody, if someone asks you a question from a Gemara or something like that, what's it? Oh, it's a machlokas. That's a safe answer most of the time. You can sound like you're talking, oh, it's a big machlokas. I mean, you may not be talking about, but other person impressed, you know. You're right, there is a machlokas. The Gemara is full of machlokas. But what type of machlokas are we talking about? Okay, people disagree about things, sometimes about things that are important, and sometimes things are silly. And of course, one person's important is another person's silly. So sometimes the machlokas is about whether it's worth having a machlokas about, right? So, you know, and usually we say the machlokas is bad. I haven't had machlokas, sometimes it's good. People have different opinions, and people are entitled to different opinions. Okay, sometimes disagreement is healthy and it's good. You have to hear other opinions. In fact, sometimes hearing someone else's opinion allows you to sharpen your own opinion. You hear that somebody disagrees. Okay, I mean, we know that this would happen to Rabbi Yochanan, right? After Reish Lakish died, so Rabbi Yochanan learned with a different Talmud, the Gemara tells us, and the other Talmud was, wow, everything Rabbi Yochanan said, great, great, terrific, exactly right. And Rabbi Yochanan missed Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish would challenge everything, he would argue. How many times in the Shlout Shas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish? Rabbi Yochanan didn't at the end agree with Reish Lakish, but it sharpened his own opinion. That kind of machlokas. And what kind of machlokas, that's called machlokas l'shem shamayim. Because you're not interested in really what's it about a machlokas l'shem shamayim. Machlokas l'shem shamayim which the Mishnah says is sofel iskayim, because what you're trying to get at is the truth and what's correct. I remember, I may have said this in Shir, I don't know, but I've told it over many times. I remember when learning Eilu Metzius, the first in those, my time, I'm not that much older, but for a lot of time, you know, they would start Eilu Metzius with the first parak we learned in Gemara. So we learned the second parak of Eilu Metzius, I think it was in the fifth grade. We learned Eilu Metzius, those remember Eilu Metzius, Machlokas, the major Machlokas, the beginning of the Machlokas of Bayan Rava about the Yesh Lomidas. Well, the Yesh Lomidas is considered Yesh or not considered Yesh. And if you remember, the Gemara, this is the second parak of Metzius. The Gemara has a whole list of attacks against Abaye. How could Abaye say this Toshma, this is a Brisa the other way? That each time Abaye gets out of it, it gets out of it. Right? And then they ask some kashya against Rava, and he gets out of those, kind of comes back, gets a question against Abaye, right? The whole sugya, of course, at the end, we know it's one of the Yal Kagam, we talk a pasuk like Abaye against Rava. But at one point in the discussion in Akamar Bamatsiya, they ask a kashya against Abaye, and the Gemara says, Tirgama Rava, libid Abaye. Rava gave an answer to explain the sheet of Abaye in accordance with that the Brice that was brought up. And basically, Rava gave the answer. So, okay, so Gemara moved on. It was not a refutation of Abaye. And I remember thinking, I was in the fifth grade, I said, Rava, why don't you be quiet? To myself, why don't you be quiet? You got him. You got him, right? They have a kasha, Abaye can't get out of it. What do you have to pipe up and give the answer for? Be quiet, you'll win. Okay, that was because I was in fifth grade and I didn't understand fully what the machlokas is about. Machlokas is not about winning. It's not about, if this were a court case, okay, and he had some information that would bolster his case, there's some information presented to bolster his case. Okay, so you're going to be quiet. You want to win the case. You're going to be quiet. You're not going to give an answer that maybe that doesn't really bolster my case. The other guy can get out of it. You'll be quiet. But that's not I point out Machlokas. Remember, Machlokas in the Gemara, they're not trying to see who's smarter, okay, who's sharper, who has a trying to arrive at Emes. They're trying to figure out what is the truth. So Rava understood very well that if this, we're trying to get at the truth here. I have my opinion. Abaye has his opinion. This is a kasha against Abaye. If I feel it's not a kasha, so that's not, I'm not trying to win the case, that's why it wasn't quiet. So I think that's that's a machlokas shem shemayim, that you're not interested in, you hear what other person says. I mean, unfortunately it's rare that happens. As I'm sure happens in your homes, and it has sort of happened in my homes, we have around the table, discussion about different things, and sometimes the discussions get heated, okay, and my wife always tries to calm me down. She said, if I'm arguing with, let's say, with somebody else and so on, again, it's friendly, Baruch Hashem, but and she'll say, neither of you are going to say, oh, yeah, he's right, right? The other person is going to say, oh, yeah, you're right. It's not going to happen. Both people are entrenched in their way of thinking. But it's still, there's still value to hearing the other person's opinion and so on. But by the way, machlokas doesn't have to be shouting either. You can make your point without shouting, without screaming, and it should never become personal. That's really shame shamayim, that you have to understand that this is, because I want to arrive at the truth. People a lot of times don't listen to the other person, what the other person has to say. Not even listening, not even taking in the argument. You speak with so entrenched, and it's human nature. But anyway, that's what the Mishnah tells about a machlokas shem shamayim. Then the Mishnah gives an example. Okay, what's a machlokas shem shamayim? Machlokas hillel and shammai, not like a bayin and rova, whatever. Hillel and shammai. They weren't trying to figure out, who's right, who's smarter, who. It wasn't a personal, issue. Sometimes people, you have to also know, sometimes people come up with their opinion because they have a personal bias. They have what to gain. There are ulterior motives to this position. Do you really believe that? Or no, that's more convenient for you, okay, to hold this way. Sometimes I struggle with that very much myself sometimes, when I'm trying to, when I'm asked advice about something, whatever. Am I really giving it l'shem shamayim or no? It's better for me to be, because I have a bias. I have what to gain, from position A, being accepted over position B. I'm talking about communal matters and so on and so forth. It's very, very difficult. It's a big challenge. Okay. But the Hillel and Shammai, they're machlokas l'shem shamayim. They're not looking, it wasn't, to see who was smarter and so on. And that's really the example of machlokas l'shem shamayim. On the other hand, on the flip side, machlokas of Korach v'chol adoso, that was shelo l'shem shamayim. Right? Korach, it's clear, Korach wanted a position. So he asked all kinds of shailas. And then just tell us, he asked this shaila to Moshe Rabbeinu about it. Beggar should call it cheles, as a need sitzes. A bayah should full of sarm, the need of mezuzah. These are legitimate shailas, right? There's a good kashas. But he wasn't asking them because he wanted to hear the answer, because he wanted to show up Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And it was there, that's a machlokas that was shalom l'shem shamayim. He was interested in self-aggrandizement. That's what a Korach was looking for. Okay, he wasn't looking to arrive at emes. That's shalom l'shem shamayim. And you know, the quote from Yisrael Salanter, you know, you have to make sure that your L'Shem Shamayim is L'Shem Shamayim, right? A lot of people think that what they're doing is L'Shem Shamayim. Yeah, make sure your L'Shem Shamayim is L'Shem Shamayim. You know, something you can convince yourself that, oh, I'm really doing this L'Shem Shamayim. Yeah, but it's not. No, that L'Shem Shamayim is L'Shem Shamayim. Now, the other things that some people point out regarding this statement, you know, to be parallel, it should have said, what's a machlokas L'Shem Shamayim? Hillel and Shammai. What's a machlokas Korach v'chol L'Shem Shamayim? Say Korach and Moshe. What do you mean Korach v'chol Adoso? Or to say Korach v'chol Adoso and Moshe Aaron. What do you mean Korach v'chol Adoso? At some point, that, no, that's the whole point. When you have a machlokas L'Shem Shamayim, even the people on your side, they're not really on your side. They're in it for their reasons. Korach was in it for his reason. He's presented himself as a man of the people. You know, he's Kikola Eda Kulam Kadoshim. You know, oh, yeah, but that you know, and therefore we got some followers. Well, this guy's sticking up for us. You know, I mean, how many times we see in the history of the world, you know, some revolution took place. The people are taking over, right? We're getting rid of the king or the czar or the emperor, whatever, the people, right? The people's republic of this. So the people are taking over, right? The guy who's in charge is representing the people. Sounds great until he's in power. Then all of a sudden, you know, then you really see what his motivation was to get into power. It wasn't to stick up for the people and so on. So that's a machlok is kar v'chol adosa. The Mishnah's right. When the shalol shem shamayim says machlok's and within the same side, because each person is in it for his own self-gain. Last Mishnah for today, chafal of kolam zakas harav mein chet bala yodav chalam machlis ham ein maspik nor las of tshuva. Okay, this is, you know, really a statement. Someone is mizakas harav, and people have to look for ways to bring other people do what's right. That's really one of the major things that if someone can do. That's really Avas Hashem. The Rambam tells us that based on the Gemara, that the way to bring somebody close to to demonstrate Avas Hashem is to get other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you're in love with somebody or something, you want other people to think highly of it also, right? You have your wife, you have your or beautiful whatever that you got, you know, and you want other people to admire it as well. This is something that you value, so you want other people to value it. So if you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you want other people to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. That's Evei Ola Brias. The Rama writes this in the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the Tzugim, I think, the Mitzvah Aras Hashem. So, you know, that you have to, that's something which is, you know, of tremendous value. On the other hand, Machtis HaRabim. Sometimes you can bring people, a great example, Yeravim Ben Avad, and you lose the ability even to do tshuva. Okay, Yeravim was not a nobody. Yeravim was a Talmid Chacham. He was a great person with leadership abilities and so on. He was his own gaiva got in the way. Okay, and you know, rather than give in and so on and so forth, so he basically led the entire Malchus Yisrael, the Northern Kingdom, down you know, the path of doom. Okay, and Avodah Zarah and so on. Yeravim started out as a good person. Okay, and again, he was not a nobody. And Achia Shiloni was one of the Nevi'im, and who part of the chain of Mesorah and son of the Rambam list, was one who was Moshechem as the Melech. He wasn't a nobody, but unfortunately, sometimes, you know, when you do such a thing, Chotim, Machtes, Rambam, Mesis, okay, that's one of the worst averages. You don't even need Hasra for Mesis. So, you have to be, you know, on the side, so to speak, of a mezakas harabim, bring people to do the right thing and not lead people to do the wrong thing. And the truth of the matter is, you know, you should. People think that nobody else sees what you're doing. It's not true. Okay, first of all, Bez Hashem, you all have children. Your children see everything. They see every contradiction. They see every, they're not only listening to your speeches when you tell them do this and this, and they're watching what you're doing. Okay, I was just discussing with this. I'll finish. One of the things which is happening more, I don't have small children home anymore. Okay, but people, someone was talking to somebody yesterday, you know, does have small children home. He said one of the things that the pandemic and being, you know, under house quarantine and so on and so forth, you know, his children see everything that he's doing, even more than usual. They have to make sure that you're on, you know, for example, he was saying in the positive, usually his children would see him run to shul in the morning and grab his talis and run out of the house. They never saw him diamond. right? Because he runs to the shul. But now they're seeing him davening. Oh, so what does he do when he davenes? You know, how does he behave when he davenes? Children see everything. It's not just children. It's students. It's people you work with. It's people you associate with. Neighbors. Okay, a person's behavior can be mezakas harabim if done in a certain way. But it can also be machlis harabim. A person has to be careful. Okay, have a good morning. Now, oops.